Golf Smarter Premium number 537, published on April 26, 2016. A major leaguer takes up golf after retiring and can't believe how hard it is. With Connor Jackson.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Connor.
Thanks, Fred. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
I'm hanging in there, bud.
So a couple weeks ago, you and I got a chance to not only meet, but we got to play golf together with a whole big group of guys. And so this is how we know each other, and it was a lot of fun. We were in the same fivesome together. So we're going to talk about that round of golf, but we're also going to talk about baseball a little bit, you know, what your career was like and how golf influenced, or other way around, baseball influenced your golf. How's your golf game been since that first day out?
It has dipped quite a bit after that. I'm not going to lie, but so is how this game goes. And which is why I love it so much. It really is one of the hardest games I think I've ever played.
I've said that so many times that I played a lot of sports as a kid and picked this up late in life, and it is the hardest game I've ever played.
There's no doubt.
And the ball's not moving.
No doubt. Exactly. I mean, I'll tell you what, there are definitely similarities in aspects of the mentality of baseball and golf, and the fact that all you do is fail in both sports, you know, and it's how to tackle that. And think about, you know, in golf, it's your next shot. And in baseball, it's your next at bat or your next pitch. And if you can let it go, you're successful, you know, but it's really difficult to do that. It's easier said than done when you're thinking about your chunk that you just hit or your strikeout that you just had or something like that. So it's the mentality of the two athletes are pretty similar. It's on how you're dealing with failure, you know.
Interesting. So you're right, because 3 out of 10, if you get a hit 3 out of 10 times, you're a very successful baseball player.
You're probably going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Right, if you can do that throughout your career.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because you would think that, you know, as we talk about golf being such a mental game and being, you know, in your head all the time, it's the longest 6 inches are between your ears, and that. It's true. I've always found that, like life, golf is just a series of disasters, and it's how you handle yourself, you know, with those disasters. But baseball is the same way.
It's very similar. You know, it is. It's literally, you said it exactly. You hit the nose on the head. If you're failing 3 out of 10 times and you're succeeding. So it's really on how you're dealing with that failure. And if you can pretty much just throw it away. You know, I mean, and even when you're, you know, failing 3 out of 10 times, it could be 4 lineouts that you hit and you make an out, or you're hitting balls, you know, the guy robbed a home run, but that's an out. It's not considered a hit. So there's so many different little things. And just in golf, you know, I mean, you're going on approach shot and you catch a limb on a tree and you go into the water, you know, but you hit a good shot. And so it's you have to pick and choose where you can be, you know, angry or just kind of go with the flow and say, hey, that was a good swing. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Right. I found that, you know, a lot of people will get very upset about the results of where their golf ball lands. But I find that once the ball leaves my club head, I'm out of control. I mean, I have nothing to do with it. So that I get upset if I don't feel like I had a good swing. Right? Mm-hmm. If I felt like I struck the ball well, if I, you know, stayed in within my rhythm and my tempo, then I feel good about it. Whatever the results are, I'll deal with that when I get to the ball next.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
You're playing baseball and a guy catches the ball at the wall, are you still walking back into the dugout going, yeah, that felt good. I'm feeling better.
Yeah, I mean, when you're squaring the ball up and you're hitting hard outs, it's tough to be upset. You know, I think it's just like you said. You know, I mean, when you're rolling over a pitch right down the middle or you're swinging at bad pitches, it's a little different mentality when you're making that out. You're probably a little more upset. And it's just like practicing your swing on the range, whereas your swing, you know, on the course is going to be probably different some days, you know, and it's just like the same thing. You know, you could feel great in the cage or during BP, and then you get out there and you feel lost. Your mechanics are gone, and it's just, you know, you got to go back to the basics. It's, you got to see the ball, hit the ball. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing in that regard in golf, where you have a good day on the range and you play your most, you know, the poorest round you played. And, you know, the days where you've had the worst day on the range, you shoot your best, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a very interesting game, but that's why it's a great, it's a great sport. There's so much, I mean, the amount of time you're playing 4 or 5 hours with four, you know, 4 or 5 dudes. I mean, it's a great way to catch up. It's a, you know, you can do business if you want to do business, you can take it however you want to take it. So it's a cool way to spend a day.
Yeah. It is. It's a long day, but you're, like you said, you can be with friends and this is all good. It's all
exactly.
good.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I go back and talk about, even before you got to the major leagues, what sports you played as a kid and how early you got started?
Basically, you know, I literally just started playing golf about a year and a half ago.
Really?
I never played golf playing, you know, growing up. I describe it, my dad was never really a golfer, and I really think that it is a game handed down by a father to a son. You know, if your dad's playing golf, you want to go and play golf, you know, and he never played golf, so I never really picked it up. And, you know, it's kind of a funny story about I retired about, this is my third year, and the first year and a half or 2 years, I didn't golf at all, and I got invited to a charity golf tournament for John Garland's charity, and I went out, and it was just painfully bad, you know. And
so did you get any chance to get a lesson, to practice, or you just first time you'd ever held golf clubs?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, granted, listen, I'd played in some charity events, you know, on the off season before, but I never took golf into an off season a serious match. You know, I'd go and mess around with guys, but I never went to the driving range, or, you know, maybe a couple times in the off season I would play around. And then it got to the point where I didn't play, you know, for about 2 years after I stopped playing, or after I retired. And I get to this dry, you know, this charity golf tournament, and it was just painfully bad. And my mentality was just like, you know what, this has got to stop. This has really got to stop. I got to actually like learn how to do this, because I'm making a mockery out of this. So I started taking lessons. I was just, you know, it kind of gave me a routine, I guess. You know, I could go to the driving range in the morning and hit balls, and just gave me something to kind of do during the days. And I've been addicted to it ever since. And addicted is the low end of that spectrum. It's definitely something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy hitting balls every day. I enjoy playing as much as I can. But yeah, it was definitely only about a year and a half ago. So
that's crazy. So did you play a lot of baseball with your dad?
Yeah. I grew up playing baseball, playing soccer, playing football. I play all sports.
Okay. And,
I think, the biggest proponent I have to people is let your kids play every single sport you could possibly play, you know,
and let them have fun doing it.
Exactly.
and get out of their face. Right.
Exactly. If they don't want to play it, then don't let them play it. I mean, there's no reason kids that, you know, from 5 to 8 years old are playing year round of baseball right now. It's pointless. I mean, you're just going to burn them out.
Right. Especially the ones, isn't that interesting though, that the kids who are like superstars early on, and then the parents start thinking, you know, that they're going to have a career in baseball, and it's like, yeah, in your county you're maybe good, but think about the big picture here. Your kid's probably not going to get drafted out of high school, and if he does, you may want to send him to college anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is. Baseball is the biggest crapshoot of probably any sport, just because there's so many guys playing it.
Right. Now it's an international sport.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And I mean, you know, you have, you know, 7, 8, 9 teams in the minor leagues with rosters that are, you know, 25 to 30, you know, I think it's about 25 to 30 guys on a roster in the minor leagues. And that's spread through, you know, 30 teams. You know, I mean, there's just the amount of people playing the sport. The odds are not in your favor, you know, to get there. So it's definitely a grind. But yeah, I mean, you know, baseball, my dad and growing up, baseball was kind of our thing together. You know, he'd throw me BP and, you know, just we figured that he wasn't really good. We didn't do good with coaching with each other. You know, he didn't really coach any of my teams just because it just didn't work. We tried it once and it was just nonstop fighting. So,
between the two of you, it was not a good match.
Not a good match. We learned our lesson pretty quick.
Yeah. When my son, I coached his basketball team, Mike.
Yes.
So yeah. when I coached his basketball team, Little League was not his thing. And then actually when the players went on strike in 94, I think it was, the baseball strike, he was in Little League and it was like, that's it. I'm out. If they're not playing, I'm not playing. I'm done. And that was the end of his baseball career.
Yeah.
But as he got older and I was still coaching other teams, but when he got to high school, he said, that's it. You're on the sidelines. And I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your voice.
Well, good. I mean, it's good that you realize. I mean, it's good that people realize that, you know, yeah. most of the time it doesn't get brought up and it just becomes that that empty space of kind of awkwardness, you know, that gets to that point. And you and I both know all these parents, you know, the type. So it's and they're easy to spot.
So, they really are.
You know,
because you can hear them across the field.
They stick out like a sore thumb. So
it's painful.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
And it's interesting because when you see, and I've seen it a couple times, but when you see ex-major leaguers who have kids playing Little League, they're generally the quietest one out there. The dads who are, you know, they probably won't coach the team because it's too much pressure on the kid, but they just know just to let the kid play, have fun. And if, you know, if they're still excited about it when they get to high school, okay, we'll put a little more energy into it. If you have an opportunity to play in school beyond that, or, you know, so let me ask you, what do you think of kids getting drafted out of high school? Is that a good move?
You know, it's an interesting question. I'm a big proponent. I went to college. You know, I went for 3 years and it was the best 3 years of my life. And I am
socially
a big proponent.
Or sports wise.
Yeah, both. Both. I do. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a big proponent of people going to college. And for multiple reasons, I guess, especially in baseball. You know, I think, my high school team, I think we only had a 25 game season, you know, and then, you're going from that to the minor leagues where you're playing 140. I mean, physically it's just a different ball game. I grew and sprouted the most and gained the most weight, from 18 to 22 years old. And
really?
I think most guys do. So, you know, it's very difficult. You know, the college has about 56 games. So it's just a good little tripod to go to. You know, you're playing 30 games and then you're going to 56 and you're going to 140. And you're getting that summer, you know, you're getting summer ball in college, whether you're going to Cape Cod or you're playing in the Jayhawk League or something. You're getting more and more at bats in, and you're getting a feel for the wood bat as you get older and stronger. It just makes more sense on the mental side of it. Now, granted, don't get me wrong here. You know, the Bryce Harpers, the kind of the freaks, you know, listen, they're ready. You know, they're mentally there. They're physically there. Go get them. I think from my standpoint, I think that college is probably a better route just in every aspect. You want to experience college. You know, I mean, I think every kid that doesn't go to college is kind of getting cheated for just their experience of the life lessons you learn and the friends you make. It's all a bigger picture than just getting better at baseball. It's kind of everything involved in one, you know?
So when you were a little kid and you were playing Little League and you're 10, 12 years old, is that about when you started or maybe earlier? You remember?
Started playing baseball.
Yeah.
I was playing at 5 or 6. You know?
Yeah.
I was playing young.
And were you the kid that was like, I want to be a baseball player when I grow up?
No, I was trying to describe this the other day too. You know, I really didn't, I didn't know I was good. I didn't really realize I was good until it was probably about sophomore year of college. Sophomore year of high school. It's kind of when I took the leap. I grew a lot. I grew, got pretty tall and, I just, you know, I realized I was actually pretty decent at the sport and, it just, I kind of got a little more serious about it too. and started practicing a lot more and hitting a lot more and just kind of honing the craft. And then, you know, I was just, I think my sophomore year of college is kind of where I put myself on the map, nationally, you know? So, I mean,
how did you do that?
I just had a really good year, you know, I had a really good year and I was fortunate enough to play on the USA team that summer and had a nice summer and, then came back and had a really good junior season and got drafted. So, you know, it just, you know, there's stages, there are really stages in everybody's careers where things just click and kind of just figure it out. And it's kind of a hard thing to describe. But every player knows what I'm talking about. You know, every guy that's been in that situation, that you just, you know, when it happens, you know?
So then you were in high school and you were starting to think, wait a minute, I might be able to do this at the next level. And at that point, that's just college.
Yeah, it was college. I think that's what clicked. And then it got kind of cool to me. And we're like, okay, you know what? Well, if I get a scholarship, I can save my parents money and they don't have to you know, come out of pocket for my education. I can provide it for myself. And when I got to college, I was like, you know what? I think I can actually make this a career and have a job in this. But you know, the focus has got to be there. I mean, you know, you've seen players go both routes. On how they want to tackle it.
Right. And do you have siblings?
I do. I have an older sister.
Okay. So you were not competing for the baseball attention at that point.
No, she wasn't really a sportsy person. So, you know, two different personalities. And, you know, I think my parents love it even more like that, actually, that we're both so different. So, it's two completely different children. Yeah. So, had a great upbringing, a great family, and, you know, couldn't ask for anything better growing up.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great that you appreciate it. And where did you go to college?
I went to Cal Berkeley.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went to Cal Berkeley for 3 years. There. Yeah, right over there.
Yeah.
So I went there from 2000 to 2003.
Okay. The only reason I'm trying to remember now, because I was doing some work with the Oakland A's, and went out, and my older son, who's 3 years older than Mike, he got to be a bat boy for a Cal baseball game. I took him out there. I was talking to the coaches, and so he got to be a bat boy, but that was way before he got there.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. He had a great time. He had a great time.
Yeah, that's. I'm assuming it was probably Bob Milano who was the manager then, or the head coach there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty legendary around there.
Yes, he is, as is the Cal baseball program.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely
and with
agree.
Stiff competition across the bay over at Stanford.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not just football, folks. Stanford and Cal and baseball and water polo and actually almost every sport there.
Pretty much every sport. Yeah, pretty much every sport.
Yeah. So then you got into you were playing at Cal and you had some pretty good time at Cal. And you're thinking while you're at Cal that I'm just playing baseball, or I'm like, I'm here because I'm trying to get myself to the next level again.
Yeah, that's when it got serious for me. Mm. You know, it got to the point where I want to do this for a living. And then I think, you know, once players realize that and they kind of flip a switch in their mentality about it, and you work a little harder, and not so, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that. You just take it to the next left, approach wise, your preparation's different. Hmm. You're taking better care of yourself body wise. You're lifting cause that's when I think I was first started lifting weights, kind of seriously. Well, it was just kind of in that college phase, growing up and weightlifting wasn't where it is now, I guess, when, you know, coming out of high school for me, for athletes at least. So, you know, it was getting a little more serious in that regards. And, you know, physically, I kind of matured and changed and kind of helped me out with my hitting as well.
And was there anybody like trying to give you reality checks about, hey, you know what? Yeah, let's work really hard and hope that we get to the big leagues. But you're at Cal. Take advantage of that, because even if you do get to play Major League Baseball, it's not necessarily a long career. Was there someone pushing you to say, just focus on your studies at all? Were your parents?
No, mom and dad. Mom and dad were huge. We're massive. still to this day, they're the most, they're the rocks in, of my life. You know, they're, they're phenomenal people and I love them to death. And, you know, they've reeled me in a few times, where my head's been. So, you know, that's, education was very big for them. And I think that was my main decision to go to Cal, because, there was some other choices involved, but I knew, you know, I knew going into that something happens, a freak injury or something, or, right. You know what, I didn't play well enough to get to that next level. I was going to have a Cal degree. And, you know, in today's day and age, it's a hard one to beat.
Yep. Yep. Well, I remember Shaq left after Shaquille O'Neal left LSU after with three seasons, but he ended up going back and getting his degree years later after he finished playing mm-hmm. basketball. You said that you were at Cal for 3 years?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So did you finish? Did you?
I have not yet. I've done a few community college classes to knock down some of the credits. But I have not gone back there. They have a thing where you have to spend the last, which is great. You have to spend your last 24 units on campus. So I would have to take a year to go back there and actually live out there, and which I would love to do. And I don't think it's a knock at all. I just haven't found the time yet. You know, I'm involved in other stuff now, and.
Well,
it's
definitely on
the top of my list.
Doors have been open,
you know,
since you got to play.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So it may not be as important for, you know, long life because you've got those opportunities that are presenting themselves, because I'm sure that after college, you didn't go directly into the major leagues. That's rare, if at all.
No. Yeah. No, it was I spent about a year and a half in the minors before I got up.
That's not bad.
So it was relatively quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spent about a half season and short season in Yakima. And then I went to low A in Lancaster halfway through the year. I got called up to double A in, where was that? El Paso, finished the year there. And then the next year I started in Tucson for triple A. And then about, in July, I got called up that year in July.
And so never went back down.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Congratulations. That's phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah. It's, you know, usually it takes a little longer, I would say, but it just, you know, everything was kind of clicking and worked out great.
So getting experience on the college level I've heard so many people talk about on the baseball side, I've heard them talk about that, you know, college baseball and professional baseball are two completely different games, and college is really not going to help you advance through the minors. You got to get into the minors and go through that system to understand how we play baseball.
You know, I think a lot of it's position based, to tell you the truth.
Oh.
I think hitters have a way bigger advantage coming out of college. Just because experience, I mean, you have probably 1500 at bats already under your belt, more than an 18-year-old would. Probably even more than 1500, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're just a little older and you're a little more mature and, you know, there's a lot to it. Now as a pitcher, I could swing both ways on that. Just because, you know what, you only have so many bullets in your arm. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's better, you know, at 18, although you probably don't know how to pitch like a college guy would pitch. So, you know, it's kind of a catch 22, I think, on pitchers, but, for hitters, I have no doubt that, the better route is probably to go to college.
And what was the biggest difference between, playing professional ball and college ball?
Well, it's your job, you know,
it's
what you're doing for a living now. It's what's putting the food on the table. So it's, there's a lot more pressure involved. Mm-hmm. You're playing way more games. You're playing every single day instead of a college. You know, when I was in college, it was Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, it's just a different, it's completely different ride, I guess, you know, and you're staying on buses, you're staying in crappy hotels and, you know, you got to learn how to grow up and, you got to do it quick. You know, you have nobody, there's nobody watching over you now, you know, there's no hour you have to be home. Like in college, you know, there's no curfew. You don't have curfews on the road when you're playing from the minors coming from college to the minors. So, you know, it's just, you got to know how to police yourself, you know?
Well, and when, once you get there, there's going to be veteran players that are going to want to give you grief anyway. So you've got to grow up immediately so that you can handle yourself, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, obviously, you know, once you get to AAA, the ages start really swinging. You know, mm-hmm. I know when I was in AAA, I got to AAA fortunately pretty young. But you know, there were some, you know, late 30s, the mid 30s, the early 30s guys. Most of the team was made up as were, you know, I was probably 8 to 9 years younger than most of the guys on the team. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're in, you know, coming up in A ball, or it's spaced out a little more equally. You know, it's just the younger guys are usually around the same area, same age. You know, if you're playing really pretty well, you're probably 22, 23 going into the low A. And if you're a good high school guy, you're 18 or 19. So, you know, it's probably a little more tight-niched, I would say, in the low A. You're probably having more friends out there just because your age differences. You know, there's not too many people that are married yet when you're younger. So once you start climbing up the ranks, guys have families and kids. And, you know, it's just a little different. You know, it's a different ball game.
Yeah. Tell me about your first day in the big leagues.
First day, man. It was an exciting one. You know, I got,
cause you got called up in the middle of the season, right?
Middle of the season and into Wrigley. So Chicago was my first game. First starting game was at Wrigley Field. And,
but you weren't playing for the Cubs.
Diamondbacks.
You were playing for the Diamondbacks. Okay,
yeah. We're playing the Cubs. Get there. I pinch hit, and then I started the next day, and I got a couple of hits, and you know, my parents and all my friends came out, and you can't ask for a better experience than playing at Wrigley Field too, especially for first game. It's a very, very out of body experience. You know, it's definitely one that you never forget.
Yeah, well, you never forget most of your firsts anyway.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, and I'm not talking about sports. You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I know where you're going. Yeah. I mean, I see where you're going now.
Okay. And you're an outfielder and a hitter, right?
I was, first base, left field, right field, more first base in the early part of my career and outfield in the later.
Okay. Okay. And your first home run in the big leagues, how many games?
First home run was, I know who it was off of. It was off of Jeff Francis, but I don't remember what, like, I think it was maybe a couple, 2 or 3 weeks into it.
Okay.
I mean, so yeah. So it took me a little while to hit a homer.
Oh yeah. Well, 2 to 3 weeks, but you got your first one out of the way. And after that, it was a lot of, you know, it's so funny. Years ago I did a syndicated radio show called Radio Baseball Cards, where I would interview ball players, about things like we're talking about now, and then just make them in little 90-second programs. And I'll never forget, one of my favorite stories all time was Mike Kruko, who's now the announcer for the Giants. His first day in the big leagues was at Wrigley Field, right?
Was it really?
Yeah, and he got called up by the Cubs, really excited. He's a kid who grew up in L.A., you know, watching Drysdale and Koufax. And so he tells this great story of, He gets to Wrigley Field, and with the pitchers, he's running on the warning track, doing the laps with the pitchers, right? Back and forth. And as he runs by left field, somebody screams out, "Hey, 33, what's your name, man?" And, you know, he just tries to be cool, and he keeps running. And each time he goes by this left field stands, you know, the bleacher bums in Chicago, "Hey, 33, what's your name, man?" And he doesn't know what to do about it. And but he doesn't want to look like he's on his first day in the big leagues, which he was. So finally, after about 4 or 5 times, he said to one of the other pitchers, one of the veterans, he says, "This guy keeps screaming at me. What's my name? What should I do? What should I tell him?" And, you know, he just kind of blew him off. Go, "Just tell him to buy a program." It's like, "Oh, good idea. Okay." So one more time, he's running out and goes, "Hey, 33, what's your name, man?" And, you know, there's no names on the back of the Cubs uniforms. So Kruko looks over and goes, "Buy a program, meat." And the guy says, "I did, and you ain't in it."
Oh, that's good.
I love that story.
That's
so good.
Great.
That's awesome. Now, I got to believe that when you were playing, there were players, probably pitchers, but a lot of players who were bringing clubs on the road with them.
Yeah, mainly pitchers. Yeah, I mean, yeah, back to mainly pitchers. Because they, you know, the starting pitchers, you know, you start and then you have 4 days off before your next start. So they had more of the time. I think I think it's probably a little frowned upon as in an organization if you're bringing your clubs and you're playing as a position player, just because, you know, it's you're probably playing every day, and, you know, I think they want your mind to be elsewhere. I'm not saying the guys don't do it. I'm not saying that, you know, that every organization frowns upon it, but some guys do and some guys don't. Yeah.
I know
a lot of a lot of the coaching staff takes their clubs. A lot of guys are playing golf. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. And you were just, I'm not there. You got to focus on what you were doing and trying to stay.
Yeah.
On the
well,
team.
Like I said, I wasn't really into golf, you know, at that time, focus was elsewhere, like you said, and, was kind of just concentrating on the baseball at that point. Since I've, stopped playing that, I had to pick up another addiction. So it's, definitely was golf.
Do you miss playing baseball?
You know, I do. I miss certain aspects of it. Yeah. I miss the locker room. I miss, you know, hanging out with the guys. I definitely miss that. I don't miss the 0-for-20s, you know, where you're not getting a hit for five games. I don't miss how crappy my body would feel and how I was feeling towards the end of my career. You kind of value health now. But, you know, there's definitely things I miss and things I don't.
Yeah. How's your body feeling these days?
Oh, it's great. It's great, man. You know,
so what kind of workout regimen do you have now?
Well, you know, I had rotator cuff surgery about 3.5 months ago. So I was just, when I played with you, I just literally came back. That was like my second time playing from that, which is probably why I played.
I think everyone was saying it was your first time back.
That was my first full round. Yeah.
Yeah. My first full round.
Yeah. 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 I had gone and played a couple holes just to see how I was going to feel, see if I could play that day.
Yeah.
So that was the first full round that I played that since I've been back. But, you know, the workouts are usually shoulder rehabs right now. I can't really do that much. I'm trying to gotta play for the tie, stay a little healthy here and, you know, try to eat good.
All right, let's talk a little golf here because I'm fascinated that you didn't pick it up I didn't pick it up until I was in my 40s, right?
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, you talk about the father-son bonding. Mike was 12 years old. He went to a summer camp to learn how to play golf. And so he brought me out one day, said, "Can I show you what I learned at camp?" And I was like, "Yeah, what did you learn?" He goes, "I learned about etiquette." And I'm like, "Yes, please teach me about what you learned about etiquette." And I fell in love with the game at that point, and he got bored and he didn't pick it up. You know, he didn't pick it up for another almost 20 years. And then and he still berates me. He's like, "Dale, it's like, why did you not force me to play golf as a kid? Because I would have been so much better now."
Right.
I'm like, "I couldn't force you to do anything. So the fact that you're back playing is great. So we can go out and play and have some fun. But, you know, no pressure. No pressure. Don't worry about it." 'Cause he likes to gamble. I do not like to gamble.
Oh, yeah. There's different groups that I play with, and some are gamblers and some aren't. And I love them all. they're all fun games.
Was there a lot of, there was no gambling in baseball. Absolutely none whatsoever going on. Yeah. So it's a post-career activity. But do you love that kind of pressure? I mean, you know, the money's on the line and you got to sink this. I mean, do you thrive on that kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely. I think any competitive guy, any with a competitive nature thrives on it. You know, I mean, granted, I'll go out there and I'll play a practice round, but I mean, I like it a lot better when, you know, there's a $20 Nassau game going on or something, you know, it makes it more interesting. It makes that, you know, the crap talking to each other interesting. And, that's what it's all about. And, you know, that after round beer that you guys are all having and you're talking about it. I mean, it's a little, it's the stigma of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's Keith, and you know the crew that we play with. So
yes, I do.
Me and Keith are definitely the betters in our crew.
Yeah, yeah. It was so interesting because I generally don't play for money, and usually when I'm playing for money with my friends, it's like, okay, it's $1 in the front, $1 in the back, and $1, you know, it's like you can lose $5-$10 at most, right?
Yeah.
And when with this one. And I don't find playing for money entertaining. Mm-hmm. I work too hard, and wake up in the morning going, okay, am I going to make money today at all? You know, so it's like gambling to me is not entertaining. I don't do it.
Gotcha.
So when that round was like, okay, every guy's in for $50, I'm like, okay. And I shot the worst round that I've shot in years, literally over 2 years. It was the highest score that I had. And I just
was
kept
it really?
Playing. Yeah, it really was. It was, I shot a 95 that day, and I had not shot that high in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I tried to keep it quiet and be cool and just keep my mouth shut and keep walking. I was the only one walking of the 15 guys that were playing.
Is true, yeah.
Which is weird because I think I was the oldest guy out there too.
I definitely were. Yeah. I didn't mean it like that. But yeah. I mean, you were definitely the only guy. You were definitely the only guy walking.
Definitely the oldest guy walking.
Yeah.
So you had the surgery, and then gave you an opportunity to go out and practice your golf out at the club daily as you were rehabbing.
And yeah. And I'm sure this is the tale of every golfer, is when they first start playing, the only thing you want to practice is your swing, you know, because it's the only thing that's kind of fun practicing. You know, you're chipping and putting. It's not that fun to practice, you know. I mean, I'll admit it. So I think the shoulder surgery forced me to practice putting. I mean, because it was all I could do. Mm-hmm. I couldn't swing, you know, and all I could do was putt. And then eventually I was able to start chipping. And so I could only chip and putt. After that, I swear that it's going to sound terrible, but it's the best thing that ever happened to me is shoulder surgery because my golf game. Yeah. Let me clarify.
Yeah, please.
Let me clarify. Definitely just the golf game. But, coming back from my swing, I had to swing 60%. And I mean, before that, I was swinging like a baseball player and just trying to hit everything as hard as possible. And I was just, the day that we played, I just clubbed down like two clubs every hole and swing 50%. And it was the best I've ever played.
Right.
And it's just lowest funny. Score.
You shot a 76 that day.
76. Yeah. It was the best I've ever played.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just one of those crazy things. And then, but, you know, what helped me too was that, you know, I wasn't three putting, you know, I mean, the putting improved and, it got to the point where I'm, you know, kind of judging the lag better, the lag putts, and you know, you're making the four footers that you're usually missing when you're, you know, at a freaking 14 or 15 handicap, you know. Right. So, I mean, that was definitely the fun day. We played that Sunday, and I think I went back out on Tuesday and shot a 92. So. You know, that's how it goes.
And if I can quote Danny Willett when he won the Masters a couple weeks ago and they were talking about Jordan Spieth and stuff, he said, golf happened.
Which was absolutely true.
So, I like practicing the short game. I wish I can, you know, putt better. Obviously, everybody wishes they can putt better. But you must have learned something from that round and all the practice you put in the short game. And so now how do you take that forward? How do you move that forward and try to not hit it over the fence every time that you're up teeing up?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think that's my, you know, why I'm shooting not as good as that, because I'm shoulders starting to feel a little better now and I'm just trying to swing harder. Mm-hmm. It's just funny, you know, the mentality of it.
But, do you have that kind of body control? I mean, because, you know, they talk about awareness and you know, body control and rhythm and all these things that as a professional athlete and going through that, studying your body on a daily basis and improving it, working on it, do you have the kind of awareness that you it allows you to like pull back on your swing when you need to?
It definitely is a hand-eye game, you know, and I think, you know, coming from the baseball side of it, you know, I think every baseball player is probably going to be a, you know, they can be a decent golfer if they want to be, you know, especially hitters, just because your hand eyes there.
Right.
And so your club aware, you know, your club head awareness is usually, you know, pretty good. But that being said, I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, I mean, you know, taking a few lessons here or there, but I mean, I don't know how to hit. I don't know how to shape shots, you know, I'm not there, you know, I mean, obviously that just comes with repetition, I'm assuming, but,
well,
you know, I'm,
you know, not necessarily, it comes on learning on how to be a ball striker.
Yeah. Well, it's very true too. Very true too. And you know, like you said, it's, you know, like it's repetition, you know, it really is practicing and it definitely is a sport that, you know, it's crazy because, you know, you brought it up earlier about Mike not growing up playing. And, you know, it's such an advantage for people, you know, if they grow up playing, because they're, you know, we have a buddy in our group, you know, Johnny Creighton, who, you know, he played high school golf competitively. And he's one of those guys that will go to the driving range and not even hit a ball. He won't hit a ball. And he'll go out and he'll shoot in the low 70s. You know, I mean, he just, you know, it's just what it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I'm out there for an hour and a half before the round starts because I have to get a good feel for it. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's different on that aspect. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. But if he shot an 85, he would like, okay, that's it. I quit. I am so awful. Right.
Yeah.
I've played with guys like that who shoot regularly in the mid to low 70s. And they, you know, if they have a round, hey, golf happened. If you have a round in the 80s, all of a sudden you think, I never want to play again. It's like, I would be so glad to be in a position to shoot in the low 80s. But, you know, that's what's so interesting about golf. And that's why there's handicaps, right? So that everybody has a level playing
without
field.
Without a doubt. It is the fairest. Yeah, it's the fairest thing of the sport, without a doubt.
And that's where gambling comes back into the conversation.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh, so you've had some rounds, but you've not achieved. Have you shot in the 70s again?
I think it's day, you know, a couple days after that, the blow up, I went back down to like a 79 and
good.
For me, it's literally if I'm straight off the box, I'm usually playing pretty good.
Right.
You know,
isn't it amazing when you're on the fairway,
right?
How easy the game gets.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing, I think why I played really good that day, too, was I was straight off the box, and then my pro shots were straight, too. And, you know, I was either off by a little bit, off the green a little bit, or on it. So it was one of those things where, you know, and you're two putting for par, and you're not three putting. So, I mean, that's the name of the game for me, but I'm sure most players, too. But it's easier said than done, you know.
Sure.
I mean, this is – I mean, that's – so.
Well, you know, you're not going to start to break 80. You really have to have some birdies in your round. You know, you've got to be playing par bogey golf, par bogey, par bogey, limit the doubles.
Yeah.
And you've got to hit some birdies. So it's really all about the putting at that point. You know, you're putting
with
and
that,
chipping.
No doubt.
It's all about the putting and chipping at that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, I think, you know, in playing with you that day and knowing where you were in the situation, I think that also you had no expectations on yourself going out. You're just like, okay, I'm just going to go out. I'm just going to hit, you know, I have to swing easy because I'm still recovering from the surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to take it easy. And if, you know, if I have a triple, I have a triple. So what? And if I, you know, so you had no expectations and you shot the best round of your life.
You're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, I think that was the, that was the whole thing about it. Where, you know, listen, I'm just going to go out and have fun, swing easy, and let the shit throw away. And surely enough, that's exactly what happened. It was the best round I ever played.
Crazy.
So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, you hit the,
I've done that a couple times.
The moneymaker right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my lowest round's a 74, and it was after, I had been on vacation and I hadn't played, and I had, there was some trauma in our vacation. We got caught in a hurricane and we were stranded for a couple days. And
oh man,
yeah, it was crazy. It was down in Mexico. And when we got back, I just said to my wife, I said, can I just go out tomorrow? I wanted to play on our vacation. you know, we were down in Mexico and I was going to play. And the day after we arrived, the hurricane hit and I didn't get, and I just need to get back to my comfort food. I just want to get back on the golf course and shot a 74. It was just because I just wanted to swing the club easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had an eagle, had a birdie. It's crazy. Crazy.
It's crazy how it works, right? It's crazy.
And that's why we love this game.
That's why I love it, man. I do. It's such a love-hate relationship, but it's true. You know, at the end of the day, it's always reverse back to the love side, you know?
Yep, yep. And this is something that you're going to be able to play. I mean, you're going to be able to play this for the rest of your life, right?
No, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, and that's the other great thing about this sport. Yeah, you play it forever.
Right, and the level playing field because of a handicap. But you're not – are you playing other sports as well? Are you playing hoops?
No.
You're done.
No. Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily done, you know, but playing other sports. But, I mean, you know, nothing is crazy appealing. And you know, being in Arizona now, we got about another month of good weather here before it gets starting to get pretty gnarly of heat-wise. So, you know, the golf rounds become tougher and tougher when it's 120 degrees out. So I'm not looking forward to that, Fred. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, I bet. And do you have a house somewhere else you can escape, or do you? What do you do then? You just stay indoors.
Exactly. You know, or either that, or you wake up like 6:30 to play. Right. You know, I mean, that's before it gets obscene. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm thinking about maybe heading up to Flagstaff for a little bit this year and checking that place out. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, just kind of break up the monotony of the heat. So, I know they got some great courses up there. They got Pine Canyon and Forest Highlands. So, awesome. You know, two of the top tier courses in Arizona. So I definitely want to play a couple rounds there and see how those hold up.
Very cool. Very cool. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California in Woodland Hills.
Oh
yeah.
Really? I lived in Woodland Hills.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yes. We'll talk about that later. So I went to Pierce College.
Okay. All yeah. right. I went to El Camino High School, man.
Okay. Okay. I went to Birmingham.
Right around the corner. Right around. Oh, you know what? We talked about this. Yeah. Didn't we? Yeah. I remember this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but you went to Cal and then now you go to Arizona. It's interesting. There's so many ball players that retire and move to the Phoenix Scottsdale area. Is it because the weather is so good all year long and it's just better for your body? Is it making it easier?
It's just better year. I mean, the weather is epic in the you know, once the baseball season gets out, which is if you don't make playoffs, you're home by October 1,
yeah.
right? And, you know, from October 1 to when you have to leave for spring, which is probably around late February,
yep.
it's perfect. I mean, you cannot ask for a better place, you know, in the United States for that period of time. You know, granted, the only thing I miss the water, you know, you miss the beach. You know, a lot of guys that spring train out here live here too. So, you know, you just kind of knock all that traveling before spring training, you know, you knock it out and you just stay there and you're there. And, you know, and I know a lot of guys that once they stop playing, they move out, you know, they go somewhere else, whether it's the hometown of their wife or their hometown of themselves. But, you know, I know a lot of guys that love it out here. And there are a ton of baseball players out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Even at your club.
Yeah. Yeah, really? That's true. Hold on, Fred, I got to get a charger. My battery's dying.
Oh, well, listen, buddy, I think this has been phenomenal. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed the conversation.
And
best of luck. And remember, no expectations. Swing easy. You're going to have a lot more fun.
And we got to do this again, bud, all right?
All right, yeah. Well, let's talk when, as the baseball season progresses, we can talk some baseball, too, because I have so many
Sounds
more questions
good.
About that.
Absolutely. All right, bud.
All right, Connor. Take it easy, buddy.
Talk
Thank you
later.
So much. Well, I hope you enjoyed his perspective on his golf game. You know, I don't know why I was so surprised. I shouldn't be that he talked about how much of a mental game baseball is. We're so focused on golf and what a mental game is. But it makes total sense, especially when you think back to what the late Yogi Berra once said about it. Baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. Questions, comments, suggestions, write to me at Golf Smarter on Twitter or Facebook. You can ride directly from the free Golf Smarter app for iOS or Android, which you may already have as a premium subscriber, or just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.